And blessings be multiplied to you, precious friend. I'm Wumi Ademola, your partner in the pursuit of intimacy with God. Let's begin by yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit, our master teacher. Darling Holy Spirit, we surrender our hearts to you. Guide our hearts to all truth. Give hearing to our ears. Let the word we're about to hear right now bless us. Transform us by your mighty power, and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Welcome, beloved, to episode 7 in the series Producing the Fruit of the Spirit, which is based on the scripture Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 through 23. In the New Living Translation it reads, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." And so, beloved, we've been discussing that as we pursue intimacy, as you pursue intimacy with the Holy Spirit of God, He is going to produce these 9 wonderful qualities in your life. He's going to graciously transform your behavior to be exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord." The glory of the Lord there represents the character, the nature of God. And so as we behold in the place of intimacy the glory of God, we are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God that does the work of transformation within us as we pursue intimacy with Him. The Living Bible says, "And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him." So the fruit of the Spirit is the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the character of the Lord Jesus Christ produced in you by the Holy Spirit that is at work in you. As you pursue intimacy with the Holy Spirit of God, He's going to change you, your character, to be just like Jesus Christ. Understand, only the Holy Spirit of God can change you. You and I do not have the power to change ourselves. Maybe there are some bad habits that you've been trying so hard to break off of in your life. Or maybe there are some sins that you have been struggling with and finding so difficult to stop. Each time you want to stop, you just find yourself doing the same thing again. Well, my friend, the reason why you have not experienced the change that you so desperately want is because the power to change does not lie in your own human ability. No, my friend, the power to change lies in your intimacy with the Holy Spirit. You want to change? All you need to do is to pursue intimacy with the Holy Spirit. He is the one going to do the work inside of you. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. As you pursue intimacy with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, He will change you from your sinful ways. He will break up those bad habits. He will make you to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So stop trying so hard to change yourself. Instead, start tarrying long in God's presence. Tarry long in the study of His Word. Tarry long in the room of prayer, and yes, in the room of fasting. Tarry on the altar of worship, and I guarantee you, my friend, you will be changed. You will stop manifesting the works of the flesh. You will stop doing all those bad things that you don't want to do, and you're going to start manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, all the wonderful things we just read in Galatians chapter 5 are just going to be manifesting in your life. Hallelujah. And so far in our study, we have been discussing the very first part of the fruit. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is one fruit with 9 parts. God wants us to manifest every single part. And the first part is love, which refers to our love for God and our love for other people. In 1 John chapter 4:21, we read, "This is the commandment we have from God, that he who loves God must also love his brother also. So anytime the Bible is talking about, it's commanding us to love, talking to us about love, he refers to us loving God and us loving other people. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we've been discussing the four fundamental things that loving people means. So far, we've just talked about three. Today, we're going to talk about the last one. But let me recap about the first three that we discussed. First of all, we discovered from 1 Corinthians 13 that loving others means that you must forgive anyone who offends you repeatedly and unconditionally. That's what it means to walk in love. No matter how often somebody offends you, if you walk in love, you will forgive them repeatedly and unconditionally. Peter came to the Lord Jesus Christ. He asked him, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother when he offends me? He says, up to seven times. Jesus said, no, up to 70 times, 490 times in a day. And I tell you, nobody can offend you that often in one single day. But Jesus just said that to help Peter understand, to help you and I understand that we must keep forgiving people anytime they offend us. That's what it means to walk in love. In Luke 17:3, the Lord Jesus Christ said again, take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day he returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. So walking in love means you forgive the ones who offend you repeatedly and unconditionally. Secondly, we said that loving other people means that you serve people selflessly, always doing good to them, never doing evil. Hebrews 10:24 tells us, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So good works and love go hand in hand. If you walk in love, God wants you to do good works. Always respond, be responsive to human need. 1 John 3:18, the Apostle John tells us, let us not love in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And thirdly, in the last broadcast, we learned that loving others means that you must treat all people with honor and respect, regardless of their class, regardless of their skin color, regardless of their social status, whether they're young or old, rich or poor, male or female. You must treat every human being who is made in the image of God with honor and respect. Treat people basically the same way you want them to treat you. Jesus in Matthew 7:12 said, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Well, briefly, today let's talk about the fourth and last implication of what loving other people means. And it's found in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it reads, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but love rejoices in the truth. Beloved, loving others means you must always speak the truth and stand for the truth. Love does not sugarcoat wrong. It does not condone sin. On the contrary, love confronts sin and corrects it. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6, I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Version. It reads, faithful are the wounds of a friend who corrects out of love and concern. If you love somebody, you will correct them out of love and out of concern. You will correct them when they're doing wrong. This shows that you truly love them and you are concerned about them. You are concerned about them becoming the godly man or woman that God wants them to be. You are concerned about keeping them out of hell and getting them into heaven. You're not silent. You don't close your eyes to your brother's faults and let your brother fall into an eternity without God. No, true love sees his brother doing wrong, rescues his brother from hellfire through correction, and restores him back to the Lord. Jude verse 22 tells us, and on some have compassion. Compassion is another word for love, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. One translation says, rescue those who are living in danger of hell fire, hating even the garment defiled by flesh. That is, hating any work of the flesh, any kind of sin that you see in their life. That is love. Make no mistake about it, my friend. Love is not always soft and dovey-dovey. Love at times must be firm. It must be tough. If you love somebody, You must be able to correct them when they're doing wrong. You must not be silent because you don't want them to be offended at you. No! If you are silent, you don't love them. Leviticus 19:17 says, "You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and do not bear sin because of him." That means when you're silent, it means that, you know, you hate your brother. And failure to correct somebody who is going astray, in a sense, is being partly responsible for their sinful behavior. Therefore, my brethren, if you see your brother or your sister doing something wrong, please rebuke them in a spirit of love. That shows you're truly concerned about them. Don't be silent. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ." And 25 then says, verse 25 of Ephesians 4, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor." So love speaks truth. It rejoices in the truth. It does not rejoice in iniquity. Hallelujah. Well, that's about the time we have for today. We want to invite you next time to tune in as we continue this study, producing the fruit of the Spirit. Till then, remain richly blessed and ready for the return of the Lord. Beloved, have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know for sure where you will go the moment you take your last breath on earth? Death does not end at all. Everyone living on earth today, whether they realize it or not, is making a journey to an eternal destination, heaven or hell. Do you know where you're going? God's word is crystal clear about this, that to escape the fires of hell, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you like to become a believer and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ today, please pray this prayer with me right now. Say, "Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of all my sins and give me a brand new heart. From today, I surrender my life to Jesus and receive him as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen." Congratulations, beloved. I welcome you into the family of God. And to help you grow in your new relationship with Jesus, I'd love to send you an e-copy of my book, Up Close and Personal with Jesus Christ. All you need to do is to email me at knowinggodradio@gmail.com. In addition to that, find a local church where you can be planted and discipled in Christ and grow. If you live in the city of Houston, it's my pleasure to invite you to join us at Dominion International Center. The details of our location can be found on our website, www.dominionlifestyle.org. Welcome again to the family of God.
I want to know.